Well, I've never got over that I am not under the bondage of sin anymore. I'm still amazed that Jesus would pay a debt I could not afford. I've never got past that I'm free at last from the sin that made me a slave. And I still feel as much as when he first touched me. Oh yes, I'm still amazed.
Street.
Good morning.
It is great to see you out this morning, and it's a beautiful day outside and a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. So it's good to see you. We have several announcements to go through, so if you'll take your bulletin, I'm going to go through these as quickly as possible. First of all, the church will be closed next week, not this coming week, but the week after, August 15th through 20th. The parking lot is being redone, so we're asking for people not to come and drive on the parking lot at all that week, so that we can make sure it all the paint looks good and everything. So just a heads up there. Marcia Cuter wrote me a note here, or wrote the church a note here. It says, "There is no way to tell you how much your moving ability and willingness to work for me helped my huge job of moving." I can't read very well, so I'll just... I have thanked God continually as I got settled. My neighbor has been amazed that my church people so caringly and thoughtfully help me move. May God bless each and every one of you, Marcia Cuter. And so we do want to say thank you to everybody who helped Marcia. There will be an Awana meeting immediately following the morning service for those interested in volunteering with Awana. And Awana begins in just a little over a month. So keep that in mind. Next Sunday is the Bronson Commons quarterly chapel service. And there's a bunch of people that are take part in that. The backpacks are being distributed soon. If you want to help with getting the materials for that, you can see the display at the Welcome Center. And next Sunday, we're having an Asian-themed potluck, okay? And I've had questions about that. Okay, bring Chinese food or Thai food or, I don't know, Japanese. It's an Asian-themed dinner, okay? So we're going to bring crab rangoon, okay? Just so, you know. If you bring some sweet and sour pork to go with it, that'd be great. So that'll be next Sunday immediately following the morning service. There's a trip to Michigan Adventure coming up on August 24th. And if you would like to go on that, please sign up at the Welcome Center so that we know how many people are going. We're going to hopefully we'll fill that bus out. And it's for anybody in the church. It's not just for the youth. If you're interested in taking part in the sideline ministry, the sideline ministry is where we pair a teenager with a more mature person in the church, and there's prayer accountability or prayer help that goes there. There's just an opportunity to be a blessing to a young person if you're willing to do that. And so you can see Autumn Lewis if you'd like to be part in that. The intramural softball game, this is the last week for that, so it's tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. And next Sunday, we're going to present the trophy, but our men's team did win the league championship last week. And any ladies that would like to go away on a weekend scrapbooking, or if you just like to do some crafts, see Brandy Roberts, and when she sees who's interested in participating, they like to get those details put together. We have our church camping trip that comes up this weekend at Fort Custer on Saturday at 2. Even if you're not going on the church camping trip, Saturday at 2, if you go to Fort Custer and meet us there, we will have our dinner where we all get together and we put our tables together and everybody just brings something that they brought with them. And it's a mess of a meal, but it's a great meal. So if you'd like to take part in that, that will be this coming Saturday. The Allen family will be joining us on September 11th. Mark your calendars for that. They're going to be here just to do special in the morning service, and then they're going to have the entire evening service to do a concert, and we're really looking forward to that. And then if you would like to be a small group host or leader, we could use your help with that. And we have sign-up sheets at the Welcome Center. I'm trying to get all the small group material put together. It's September 18th through October 23rd, 6 weeks there. And really looking forward to that. We have one more announcement. Eric Hackman's going to come up. He is on our building committee, and there is a big work project we have coming up. So Eric's going to explain that for us. You got the slides ready, Bo?
Good morning. I'm an architect here in town, so Pastor Thad decided he'd task me with trying to figure out how to fix the outside of the building. So about a year ago, or 2 years ago, we started trying to glue new bricks on the back of the building to keep it from looking as bad. It wasn't quite sticking, so we changed over to painting it. So I don't know if anybody have noticed, but we faux painted it last fall, I guess it was. So what we're trying to do is fix the brick. And the only way to do the fix the brick is to take it all off and put metal on. Next slide. So what we're going to do is we're going to remove all the brick. We're going to remove the cementitious backer board behind it, and then install a weather barrier and install a metal panel. And we think we can do this in 2 days. We're going to do the back this year and all become experts, and then do the pretty front side next year. Go to the next one. So the plan on Friday from 5 to 9, I can't read that far. How do you read that far? We're basically going to need somebody with plumbing and electrical abilities. So any electricians or plumbers out there, we have to disconnect all of the equipment. That's the first thing we have to do so that none of us get hurt. And then we'll take all of the brick off the back and all the cementitious board, and demo day will be Friday. Then on Saturday, next slide, we'll install the flashing installation at the base of the wall, and then install the metal panel. We're going to grade the building away from it. The problem that we've had essentially is that the bottom of the wall has been capillary and water up into it, and through the freeze-thaw cycles has caused it to delaminate and fall off the building. So it's done its job for 20 years, so it's time to be replaced. And then the final step will be we'll seed the grass and hope that it grows. So what's needed? We don't have all the tools here, so we need some saws, wheelbarrows, flat hose, shovels and rakes, saw horses, staple guns, and we'll start at one end and go to the other end. It's about 120 feet or so of wall on the backside to do. Next slide. So we're going to be setting up different crews. Hopefully we can start at one end and get to the other end. Demo crew will be on Friday, and then on Saturday we'll have an installation crew that will be putting in the metal panel and the weather barrier. Then we'll start grading it away, put down the stone, and seed it. If you choose to come, please bring some sort of eyeglasses, gloves, and sunscreen. We should have everything else here. And I think Lynn was going to be putting together a group for providing food, and you were setting up a daycare opportunity too, correct? Mm-hmm. Any questions? I hope to see you all here that day.
All right. Thank you, Eric. See, I had him present because he could use the big words like capillary and everybody would be impressed. So, all right, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Lord, I thank you for who you are. And as we meet here together this morning, Lord, you are such a great God. You're a God who loves. You're a God who cares. You're a God who judges. You're a God who punishes. But in all of it, you are always perfect in every single one of your ways. And Lord, we know that your holiness and your righteousness, it's given out in a way where you have the best for every single person that's ever lived in mind. And so, Lord, as we spend our time looking at your word this morning, as we spend our time singing praises to you, and as we spend our time this morning in fellowship with each other, I pray that we would let your spirit be heard in each one of our lives, that we would be attentive, that we would be ready to go out and put into action what you teach us this morning. And so, Lord, I just thank you that your kingdom that you build, that it's the most valuable resource that we could have in our life now and in our future. And so, God, build your kingdom this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. All right, if we could find our seats. Today is Brian Cooper's 40th birthday, so make sure you give Brian 40 swats when you see him. So. All right, I'd like to invite the deacons to come forward to help distribute the Lord's table. And as they're coming up here, let me read a couple of verses from Scripture. This is from Luke chapter 24. It says, "Thus it was written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." All right, Christ, it was necessary. And not only was it necessary, it was something that he chose to take on: death, burial, and resurrection, so that we could be forgiven for our sins. And this morning, we're going to take communion. And as we take communion, the whole idea behind communion is that it puts us into a short frame of time here where we spend special attention remembering his death on the cross for us. His body was broken, and so we take the bread. It's unleavened bread. It reminds us that the body of Jesus was without sin. And then we have fresh fruit from the vine to go with it, grape juice, to remind us that the blood of Jesus was shed for our sins. And Christ had to, and he wanted to, suffer and to rise again from the dead so that repentance could be made on our part. If you've never repented of your sin and asked Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sin, then this morning I'm going to ask you just pass the elements by. Taking these don't do you any good if you don't know Jesus Christ already as Lord and Savior. Instead, I would encourage you to pray and talk to him and ask him to forgive you for your sins. And this morning, he would love to save your soul. And if you're here this morning and you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the reason we do this is so that you can remember what Christ has done for you. And you can spend some time in introspection. You can search your soul. If there's anything between you and God, ask him for forgiveness. He'll give it to you. And if you have something that's wrong between you and another person, I would encourage you, go make it right with that person. It would be more important to do that than to sit here and take communion and pretend that everything's okay. We have a phone in the office. If you need to make a call, go make that call during this time. Because it's more important for us to do things the right way than to just do things. And so as we go to the Lord's table this morning, let's remember his body that was broken and his blood that was shed. Brian, would you ask a blessing on the bread this morning? night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "Take, eat in remembrance of me." Don, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine? Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And to follow the example of Jesus and his disciples, when they got done, they sang a hymn. So let's stand together and we're going to sing some praises to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Aren't you glad he's alive this morning?
Mercy, and I'm broken inside. One Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at your saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. Yes, I'm full of praise once again. And once again, I look upon the cross where you
the offering, Lord. We just pray that you'd bless this offering, bless the gift and the giver. As our pastor comes this morning to bring the message that you've laid on his heart, Father, we just pray you'd pour your spirit out on him. Father, just use him in a mighty way this morning. Open our hearts and, Lord, use us throughout this week to the furtherance of your kingdom. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're restoring me.
is nothing today that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing today that you can't make worthy. You wash me.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Michael. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to take a break from Judges for a week. And turn to Matthew chapter 13. When I was a youth pastor, I was leading a trip to Jamaica, and I had already led other groups there before, and I was at a new church, so it was the first time they had gone, and as we were preparing to go, we did some fundraisers, and the fundraisers were for kids that were going on the missions trip, because we auctioned the kids off, and when the kids got auctioned off, they would go work at somebody's house, and they get paid ridiculous amounts of money to do little bits of work, but it was to help them have money for the missions trip. And we did the auction, and when we were doing the auction, this one young man, was hired for $200 to put up Christmas lights for a family, and all they wanted was one strand across the front of their house. And so everything was arranged for him to do that, and his parents decided not to allow him to go on the missions trip. Now, they were a very wealthy family. He was an executive at GM, and they were very wealthy. And so I didn't think it would be a big deal when I told them. I said, okay, since he's not going on the missions trip, I'd like to have another child work and do that job and have the money go toward their missions trip. And the parents told me that that was not acceptable, that their son needed to be able to do that and have the money for camp, which was a lot less than $200. And I didn't agree. And I said, no, we can't do that. And so I went and talked to the family that had purchased him to do the work at their house. And the family said, well, if he's not going on the missions trip, no, we don't want to pay him $200 to put up lights. And so I went into work the next week, and my pastor called me in, and my pastor said, we need to talk. And he sat me down and he said, you need to go apologize to the family of the young man. And I said, what? I didn't do anything wrong. And he told me, he said, you need to go apologize. I said, why am I apologizing? He said, because you've upset the family. And it doesn't matter that maybe their opinion is wrong on the matter. You can make this right. So I went over to their house, and also the pastor told me that I was to allow the young man to do the work, and if need be, pay for it myself. And so I went to the young man's house, and his mom came out to talk to me. His dad stayed in the study, and she cursed me out for about half an hour when I got there. And just gave it to me. When she got done, I said, I am so sorry that I've upset your family like this. And she said, well, is my son going to be able to do the work? I said, yes, the pastor said that your son can still do the work. And she said, and that family's going to pay him. I said, well, the family does not want to pay him, so I'm going to pay him. She started cussing at me again. And she went into the study, and the husband came out, and he just started yelling at me. And when it was all said and done, I have never in my life felt so beat up. I was dumbfounded. I just apologized and apologized. And when I left, they still had not accepted my apology. So I went into the pastor's office the next day, and he said, did you go apologize? I said, yes. He goes, yeah, I know, they called me. Your apology doesn't seem to be good enough. Now, that was one of the greatest learning experiences in my life. Because you know what it taught me, first of all? Apologies are free. Unless my pride gets in the way. I could offer an apology. I upset the family. I upset the son. Obviously. I still had to go deal with the family that did not want him coming to put the lights up. But that's a whole other issue. Apologies are free. In the scripture, we're given some thoughts by Jesus Christ himself. And as he gives us these thoughts, the thought that I just want to run through your mind this morning is, what are you willing to give up for the kingdom of God? See, I could have held on to my pride, and I could have said, I'm not going to apologize to them. And I could have been justified. I would have been right to do so. Okay, I think the family, to this day, the family was wrong. But for me to make an apology was good for me. It was good for my soul. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, it says this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has, and buys that field. So imagine with me someone that's walking through this field. They don't own the field. They're just walking through the field. And as they're walking through the field, they stumble on a treasure. Okay? I don't know about what you're imagining in your mind. I'm seeing, you know, a treasure chest, you know, and the top pops off, and there's gold and silver and gems and diamonds in there. And so real quickly, he puts the top back on, and he digs a little deeper and pushes it down and then puts dirt on top and puts some leaves on top. He makes sure it's hidden very well. And he goes and he finds out who owns that piece of property. And he says, hey, I want to buy that piece of property from you. So he negotiates a price. And when he negotiates the price, he sells everything that he has to own that piece of property. There's no house on that piece of property. Jesus doesn't even tell us if it's a very good piece of property. He doesn't care about the property. It's the treasure that's hidden in the property. Jesus says that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. So what we're supposed to understand from this parable is that the kingdom of heaven is worth getting rid of everything in our life to obtain it. Look at verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I've never been in the business of trading pearls. But this merchant man, he was out looking for the perfect pearl. And he finds it. And he's willing to sell everything that he has so he can have that pearl, the pearl of great price. Now, the kingdom of heaven is like that. Through all of your work experience, through all of your journeys in life, you will never come across something more valuable and more precious than the kingdom of God. And you should be willing to give up everything for it. When the pastor I worked for told me to go and talk to that family, he understood the principle. I needed to learn it. The kingdom of God is more valuable than my pride. The kingdom of God and having unity in that kingdom was worth more than me holding back an apology. And really, I really learned that day of what giving something up for somebody else was like. To have someone sit and just belittle you, berate you, and cuss you out, all in the name of Jesus, right? And then to be able to say, I'm sorry. You know what it did for me? It let me know my conscience is clear. I'm clean. And God is worth doing that for. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says this. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. See, in life, we search for and we look for and we strive to have a whole lot of things. But the best thing, the chief thing, the thing that we should be seeking for first and foremost is the kingdom of God. And everything else is added when we first seek the kingdom of God. So I've got four questions I'm going to pose to you here this morning. And the first one says this. Sometimes we focus too much. You're going to have to help me, Bo, because my tablet just crashed. Sometimes we focus too much on what we do, on what we contribute. See, we think of our relationship with God and here's what I do, God. Here's what I do, God. Here's what I do. And we think too much about what we're contributing to the relationship. Now, I'm not trying to tell you to this morning, don't contribute, all right? You should be. But sometimes that's how we base our entire relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here's what I've done. Here's what I've done. Here's what I've done. And it almost sounds like we've been earning the grace that he gives to us. It's almost like that sacrifice of salvation that he gifts to us, that we've somehow deserve it because of what we do. And then even after salvation, sometimes we focus so much on what we're doing and what we contribute. And we get a little bit of out of whack with that thinking. The second thing, we have a tendency to focus on what we offer in service to God. It's so good that God saved me, because if he didn't, boy, Christianity would be in trouble. That church is so lucky to have me, because if I wasn't there, imagine what kind of troubles they would have. You know what? Sometimes we have a tendency to focus on what we do in service to God, and we're not thinking about the fact that it's the kingdom of God, it's not the kingdom of Thaddeus. It's the kingdom of God, it's not the kingdom of insert your name here. Thirdly, third question, or third statement. Today, I want to encourage you to identify what God wants to give you. what he gives to you, you will most certainly put back into service for him. But first, what has he given to you? And then lastly, what part of you and your world are you willing to give up for God? This morning, I'm not going to ask you to do more for God. I'm going to ask you to do less for self. This morning, I want to encourage you to contemplate what part of your world needs to be given up for your Lord so you can truly enjoy his treasure. I've talked to a lot of people that they struggle with the whole idea of baptism. They say, well, baptism doesn't save you, and that's exactly right. Baptism doesn't save us. It hasn't saved anybody, and it won't save anybody. Baptism is a work that we do. But baptism is something that God commands us to do. In fact, as a church, we're commanded to go and preach the gospel to all people. And then the very next thing that Jesus said in the Great Commission is, baptize them. And I've talked to a lot of people that they have so much self that they won't let go of. Or they'll say, well, you know, I got baptized when I was a baby and I think it counts. Okay, that's what you think. The order of that is given every time in Scripture is get saved, get baptized. You know, and some of us just, we hold on to ourselves so tightly. And the kingdom of God is not as precious to us as it should be, because we are not willing to give up ourselves for the kingdom of God. There are some of us here that we love our flesh, and we serve our flesh, whether it's the cigarettes we smoke, the tobacco we chew, the alcohol we drink, the pornography that we view. And we serve ourselves and we say, I'm saved. God has saved me. That stuff's not going to keep me from heaven. You're right. That stuff won't keep you from heaven. But what that stuff will do is it will keep you from having the treasure of the kingdom of God. It'll keep you from the full enjoyment and the peace and the wonderful relationship that you can have with your Lord every single day. You know, maybe part of the problem is because of what we believe. You say, well, I know that once I'm saved, I'm always saved. That's right. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean? It means not that I'm just saved from the consequence of all the bad things that I do. It's I am saved from having to continue to do them. When the Apostle Paul posed this question, he said, what, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should I just keep sinning so I can have more grace in my life? And then the Apostle Paul says, God forbid, or to put it today, no way. We who are saved from sin are no longer servants to sin. We are now free to live for our God. But first, you got to give up self. First, you have to see the kingdom of heaven as your most valuable treasure, worth more to you than anything else. See, when we pray and we talk to God, here's how we usually talk to God when it comes to regards to our sin. We say, oh yeah, God, forgive me for all the bad things that I've done. Forgive me for failing you. Forgive me for my sin. And we always leave it general and we always leave it at that. And the reason we do that is because we are too cowardly with our God to stand up and say, God, forgive me for my bad attitude. And name it. We're too insincere in our faith to say, God, forgive me for my gossip. and name it. We leave it general because it helps us feel better about ourselves. But the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is a great treasure. And you know what? It's worth laying down myself for that treasure. 1 John 1:9, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's true, when you say, God, forgive me for my sin, God forgives you. But I'll tell you what, here's why you don't get victory over that sin. Because when you say, God, forgive me for the sin, you just continue to walk in that sin. And you go, well, I did ask God to forgive me. But if you would man up to it or woman up to it and say, God, I'm sorry for, fill in the blank, name the sin, now you're owning it. And not only are you owning it, you're saying, God, forgive me. You're releasing it. And I think so much of our confession of sin is rooted in pride, because we want to be forgiven, but we do not want to stop. In Proverbs it says, he that confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy. So what I'm going to challenge you today to do is to name that sin. Come up and name that sin. And then leave it. It was really cool this last week at camp. This little girl, she must have been 10 years old, during the campfire. She walked up and she said, this week, I named my sin to Jesus, and I left it at the altar, and I am free. And I'm like, that little 10-year-old gets it. Wow. You say, well, I've asked God to forgive me. Do you really think that's how it works? Do you think that's how it's like with the kingdom of God? That, yep, I asked forgiveness that one time. And it's right, God forgives. God's not going to hold you accountable. When you stand before him in heaven, the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteous, it covers your sin. You are forgiven for that sin. In the eyes of God, you are forgiven. But let me tell you about here on earth. You say, God, I've asked God to forgive me that one time, and he's forgiven me. Okay, so the next time you've committed that sin, did you name it again, and did you say, God, forgive me again? Or have you gotten so callous to it? Have you gotten so accustomed to your life of sin that you just continue? The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I die daily. The people he's speaking to in Corinth, they're rejoicing in the fact that they are forgiven. And they're thinking about forgiveness and the one-time event of when Jesus saved me from my sin. And they dwell on that. And you know what? That's a great thing to dwell on. But the Apostle Paul doesn't give them any moment to just dwell on that. He says, stop rejoicing. He says, I die daily. Because every single day, I have to give up Thaddeus Stout for the kingdom of heaven. Every single day, I have to lay me down and lift up Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross daily and follow me. Every single day. To be a true follower of Jesus, one that lives in right relationship with our God, one that has constant and full communion with our God, it is every day, take up my cross. Every day, follow him. I learned this really well when I was an evangelist. And our boss, he beat that into our heads, that every day you got to walk with Jesus. Every day you got to walk with Jesus. So wake up time when I traveled with Neighborhood Bible Time was 5 a.m. every morning, okay? Because when we got up, first thing to do was read your Bible and pray for an hour. And then when he got done doing that, we had to go run a mile. And then when we got done doing that, it was time to get ready for the day. Now, we had some weird rules in Neighborhood Bible Time, okay? We would go out. He took 40 college students from all over the country. We'd go to Boulder, Colorado, and we would train to go and hold Vacation Bible School youth rallies at churches all summer long. And so we would go for 4 weeks of training. So I remember the first week of training, the first time I went out there, I was just shocked by all of his rules, okay? Like he had us come up and he said, he had us all show him our shoes. Well, my dress shoes I brought with me were loafers. And he looked at that and he said, "You are one lazy boy. You're wearing loafers." I'm like, "Okay." He said, "God can't be pleased with your loafers." I'm like, "What?" So I had to go buy wingtips, all right? Because evidently you can only preach in wingtips. I don't know. But I'm not wearing wingtips today, so obviously I didn't buy that part of the program. But here's what I did learn. Constant communication with God. Every day, making my account new. Waking up at 5 a.m., it got easier and easier. I started to look forward to my 1 hour alone. Because at 5 a.m., usually where we were staying, the people in the house or whatever, they weren't awake yet. Or if I was in a hotel, the people in the hotel, it wasn't clamoring around yet. Most people were still asleep. It was quiet. I could talk to my Lord, and I could spend time with him. And as I spent that time with him, I just learned that every day, go through my life, take inventory. And every day, it was new. Every day, it was fresh. I learned how to take up my cross daily and follow him. And then when it came time to make big decisions, when I was walking with God daily, the big decisions weren't quite so big. They were clear. It was apparent what I needed to do. You know, if you're not in a relationship with God where you confess your sin and you name it, and you don't take this practice daily, then you're in a relationship with God where you've fallen out of fellowship, and you probably don't even know it. I wonder how many of us are so numb here toward the real work of the kingdom of God in our life because we aren't giving our everything into it. Here's what Christianity is for so many of us. I'll give God that 1 hour on Sunday morning, and it's 12:05, and pastor's already gone 5 minutes over, and boy, he better quit soon. And for so many of us, our relationship with God is all based on that short amount of time that we spend in assembly together. I want to tell you something. This 1 hour is meant to refresh you, revive you, encourage you, challenge you. If you need, get a spanking. Get it right. So you can get back out and live life the way that God wants you to. But your Christian life is lived every day. Every moment of the day. My dad told me this a long time ago, and it's the best advice you can listen to. Go to bed in God's will, you will wake up in God's will. Go to bed every night in God's will, you will wake up every morning in God's will. Kind of funny how that works, right? Die daily to yourself so that Jesus Christ can live through you. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you tell us that the kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything else that we could pursue. And so, Lord, forgive us for making our pursuits for other things. I pray, Lord, we would not have a lazy Christianity. I pray, Lord, that we would not have a shallow faith. I pray this morning we get real with you. We would deal with you rightly the things that we need to deal with. Help us to name our sin and to leave it with you. Help us, Lord, to be committed to you. Because, Lord, this life's too short to live for self. So I pray that you will bless this invitation time, that our hearts will be ready to respond to whatever you want us to do. Lord, if anyone here has never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them for their sin, to change their life, and to be their boss, their Lord, their master, I pray this morning, Lord, that they would just walk to the front of the church and shake my hand and tell me that they want to trust Jesus. They want to give their life to him. And Lord, this is why you came to earth, was so that each one of us could have that decision made. So now, Lord, bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing the song of invitation, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing at the front. I'd love to talk to you about it. Or if God has spoken to your heart and you need to come and deal with him, let's do business with God. And when we leave here, let's have the kingdom of heaven in possession, the pearl of great price, the treasure that's worth giving everything up for. Let's stand together.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. My hope is found. I owe all to you. I owe all.
This morning, Tom and Angie Layton have come forward to join our church. They made it through the 12 Things About 12th Street class, and that, you know, they get a Medal of Honor just for that. Tom, real quick, the 30-second version of your salvation.
30 seconds. Raised in a Christian home, taught the Word of God, made a decision early in life, and have not stepped away from it, and never will.
Pretty similar story. Grew up in a Baptist church and understood I needed salvation, and I can remember the day when I finally understood that every time I sinned, I didn't need to keep asking the Lord into my heart to save me, but it was once saved and I was done, and I was in the Lord when I was about 5 years old. And same thing, been with him ever since. So.
Amen. And so they've both been baptized, they've told me, after their salvation. So to bring them into church membership, can I have a motion to bring them in? First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. If you guys could go to the back, we'd like to extend the right hand of fellowship to you. And let's pray. Datisha, where are you at? Datisha, we need to... At the end of the service, I didn't do this last week. Datisha got baptized last week. She shared her salvation testimony. And I need a motion to bring Datisha into, Datisha's servant, into membership as well. I have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Datisha, if we could extend the right hand of fellowship to you as well in the back, that would be wonderful. Let's pray. Let's pray together as we close this service. Lord God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the times of my life that you've stepped on my toes, that you've steered me in the way that I should go. I thank you, you'd never leave us. Lord, we walk away from you, but you never drop that salvation you hold of us. You never let us go. I thank you, Lord, that you do remind us of where you want us to be and how you want that relationship to be. And so, God, I just pray that this morning, every single one of us would leave here excited, knowing that we are forgiven and that we are free and that we are ready to go into this world and serve our loving Lord. And so, to you, Lord Jesus, the one who created all things, and by him all things consist, to you be glory forever and ever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Next